You see, a lot of people agree when you ask them, should we get the influence of money out of politics? They're going to say, yes, it has a negative influence. We'll talk about what that influence is, not just in politics, but in elections. And I think there's something different. There's politics, and then there's actually elections and election day. We'll talk about that here a little bit, too. But money has always played a role in American politics. How? And I think there's a lot of good ideas out there. There's one that we'll talk about here today surfacing called a Citizens Initiative I-194. What it would do is essentially reshape campaign finance by prohibiting corporations and other, quote, artificial persons from spending money to influence state and local elections. It'll be on your ballot most likely here in November. What are your thoughts on it? Let's get into it today. Jeff Mangan, our guest on Voices of Montana. This is a question that has perplexed us for a number of years. We've tried some things and you know, we have some success, and then we have some workarounds as well. And I'm talking about money in politics, right? You go back to many, many years ago, and candidates often relied on party networks and some local supporters. It wasn't really large fundraising operations. It was early 1900s where we saw some first concern for major campaign finance reform. They passed the Tillman Act, and it prohibited corporations from making direct contributions to federal candidates. And then laws later required better disclosure and some transparency. Those things helped as well, but they found workarounds. The modern era of campaign financing was really shaped by the Watergate scandal in the 1970s. Secret donations and political abuses, it prompted Congress to strengthen their campaign finance-related laws as well and created the Federal Election Commission. The debate, again, really intensified. We can't talk about I-194 without talking about Citizens United and FEC, 2010 Supreme Court decision that ruled that corporations, and they were following a 1976 Supreme Court decision as well, but just went a little bit further. Corporations and unions and certain organizations could spend unlimited amounts of independent money for candidates as well, or for causes. Right, Jeff Mangan is with us here, former Commissioner of Political Practices in Montana, spent more than his fair share of time on the floor of the House and floor of the Senate in Helena as well as a state legislator, and is the one behind this, what they call the Montana Plan. And hey, Jeff, good morning. It's I-194. Got it qualified for the ballot. We're going to have the Secretary of State kind of sign off on that. But that's good news for you. Good morning. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good morning, Tom. Oh, I'm doing great. I appreciate the invite and glad to be on with you.
Given that little history lesson there as well, if we ask average Montanans, they're going to say, you know, like, and I think you'll note a fair percentage, 75% or more, are going to say, yeah, I want to take money out of politics. But then ask, how do you do it and still retain your constitutional rights? Then you're going to get a lot of different answers there, too. And there are some ideas out there that I want to put on the plate as well as talk about. But tell us about I-194. Why do you think, you know, what is this plan and why do you think it's going to accomplish? And then maybe tell us what you're really trying to accomplish.
You bet.
Right.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Just, excuse me, add a little bit to your history lesson there, too. And you talked about the federal history, but Montana has its own unique history, as you well know. You know, all the way back, when Teddy Roosevelt was talking about campaign financing and getting money out of corporate money out of politics in the early 1900s, we were doing that as citizens in the state of Montana and passed the Corrupt Practices Act of 1912, which stayed on our books until Citizens United, which we'll get into. But the Montana plan is fairly simple. It's just we're not asking folks to look at the First Amendment. We're asking folks to focus on the 10th Amendment, how corporations are formed in each of our states. States create their own corporations. Corporations are creatures of state government. You may have heard that term. States have basically the power and the authority to determine what powers corporations have. And for the last 100 years, every state in the union, including Montana, When someone applies for a charter in Montana, we give them an all-purpose charter, basically. They have the same powers as you or I. But it never used to be that way. Corporations had limited power. States could control what powers, states controlled what powers a corporation would have. They just haven't chosen to do that in over 100 years. So what we're simply doing is saying we never intended for corporations to spend in our politics. And we're taking that, we're redefining what a corporation is in Montana, and it doesn't include the power to spend in our politics. Simple as that. Of every other power that they have currently, they'll get all the benefits of becoming a corporation in the state of Montana. They just won't be able to spend in our politics.
Don't they have that authority through, I know they register in Montana. So tell me then how that doesn't bump up against Citizens United. I mean, just because you're going to change a little bit of language here and there, do you think you tell me. I'm sorry.
Well, we believe it does. Of course, you know, the opponents and others like to focus on the First Amendment, saying that won't that's not true. But we believe it is. The states totally control, totally authorize what powers a corporation has, whether it's limited liability, perpetual life, the ability to own property, sell property, hire employees, et cetera, et cetera. And now with all general powers, the power to spend in politics, you take that power away, the right to do so doesn't apply. So we're not overturning Citizens United in Montana. We're basically making it moot. It's not there to attach in the first place. That right will have nothing to attach to because the power doesn't exist. So currently, not only in Montana, but across the United States, you know, we regulate a power through campaign finance regulation and reform, a power a corporation already has. Under the Montana plan, we won't be regulating a power because that power won't exist. It's just not there.
Okay, what about corporations that are incorporated in more than one state? I know that they have a origination state as well, but say you've got a corporation that originated in North Dakota, right? And they've got resources in Montana. Are they going to be limited?
Yeah, out-of-state corporations can only only have the same powers that an in-state corporation has. So if a corporation wants to do business inside of Montana or in Montana, and this is true today and it's true in all of the states, they can only exercise the powers granted to the state's corporations. So to do business in the state, they have to file as a foreign corporation, just meaning outside the jurisdiction, outside the state. And spending in our politics is doing business in Montana. Therefore, they won't be able to spend in politics just in Montana, just like Montana corporations couldn't.
Do corporations pay federal taxes?
Yep.
Yeah. So then how does that impact this measure? I mean,
corporations, any corporation, whether you're talking for-profit, non-profit associations, et cetera, any artificial person under I-194, where they've always affected policy is lobbying. You know, this whole idea of controlling controlling the election and then controlling the back end, the I-194 doesn't affect lobbying whatsoever. A corporation, association, et cetera, can lobby at the government level, whether it be local, state, federal, et cetera. This doesn't change that at all. That is where corporations have traditionally and continue to do today, as we all know, lobby to make policy changes, whether that's in tax code or whether that's an industry issue or an energy issue or any of those type of things that may affect that corporation ability or their larger industry's ability to do business. I-194 does not touch that at all. As a matter of fact, that's where, like I said, corporations have traditionally and continue to do so today. That's where they determine policy and work with our elected officials to either change law, revise law, make law, et cetera, that may or may not benefit that corporation or their industry group.
how does this, and I appreciate that, Jeff. I mean, and then how does this case bump up against a contention that if they're paying federal taxes and federal authority supersedes state authority, how are they not going to argue that, you know, ultimately we are under federal authority and Montana cannot advance its authority beyond that?
We're not advancing our authority. We're just talking about Montana. They won't be able to spend in Montana politics. Now, we assume that this will, of course, I think, be picked up. You know, Montana's, you know, all eyes are on Montana, although we did a law through in Hawaii. Talk about that later, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
All eyes are on Montana. And I can guarantee with the conversations we're having and the work we're doing on the ground in some other states, there's an appetite for a change like this to happen. And so should the I-194, the Montana plan, pass in Montana, while it affects only political spending in Montana, all those other folks will still be able to spend in their states, et cetera, until it grows state to state to state.
And what kind of spending are we talking about? I mean, every kind of political spending, Yeah.
To just like it is today, to support or oppose a candidate or a ballot issue. No different than that. So, it really is as simple as that.
Okay. And that is where a lot of people who are opposed to this plan would say, this doesn't change anything. It just, and we saw that when, you know, Watergate and PACs were created. PACs were created to kind of prevent the abuses of Watergate. Well, it didn't take long for PACs to just fall into place in that regard, you know. So but politics has changed an awful lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. And super PACs, you know, are basically a creature of Citizens United. You know, all this indirect spending in our politics. So, you know, it's absolutely true. Corporations cannot spend directly and can't give directly to candidates now or today. So they spend indirectly through PACs and independent expenditures. And as you, in your opening, Tom, talked about, you know, all of this kind of exploded growth in political spending since Citizens United is absolutely true. Basically, what the court said was that independent expenditure spending cannot be corrupting. Therefore, it's fine, even though Montana had a long history of showing that corruption. But regardless, the way that they're spending today, it's unfortunate. But I think folks in corporations and these larger PACs and super PACs have kind of taken that as a challenge to those Supreme Court justices to say, well, they'll show you. It certainly can be corrupting, and just look at the amount of money that's being spent into our elections right now. So this idea that there's no money in our politics is, you know, when the opponents and folks say that, it just blows my mind. We just came through, anecdotally, because I don't have the numbers, anecdotally, the most expensive statewide primary that we've seen in Montana. More independent expenditure, outside PAC money was spent on our local races, particularly in the state legislature, than we've ever seen before. Upwards of millions of dollars.
Some of that was very helpful, Jeff.
PAC was R on R, D on R, R on D, D on D. So, and not only in that state, you know, those state legislative races, but we also saw that money and those type of PACs pop up and insert themselves in the primary races for those federal seats as well. So Montanans had basically, as we saw through news, and I'm sure you're reporting and others, you know, through that primary, this constant drumbeat of this money being spent in politics that really likely influenced those races and not to the good.
We're talking about something that we talk an awful lot about, but maybe don't do enough about. And I don't mind giving it a good old try. We got to make sure, though, that the cure is not worse than the disease, so to speak. at times. And I'm speaking about I-194, Citizens Initiative. We'll find out if it's certified. They've got enough signatures gathered and it's been submitted. That will be known on August 20th. Jeff Mangan is with us here. He's key behind this as well, the Montana Plan, they like to call it, montanaplan.org for more information. And also the Transparent Election Initiative is another site you can go, and it'll certainly support this plan, but also talk about you know, a lot more behind it, and that is transparentelection.org for more information. Jeff Mangan, a former commissioner of political practices and also state legislator, joins us. Jeff, I appreciate you doing this. I bump up against Montana, and this is why I guess I don't like to call it the Montana Plan, and I've said that, is because, you know, Montana's small business and Montana's agriculture, and Montana's people who hopefully have some integrity, although we've seen that line go farther and farther, you know, get crossed quite frequently. But if they're, and this does not affect billionaires, and it's only affecting corporations in Montana. So there's a lot of loose players out there that can come in. And if they are saying something, like there's this group out of Oregon that wants to eliminate hunting, right? And they want to actually eliminate an agriculturist, a farmer or a rancher's ability to even move an animal. Or kill an animal, for that matter, for whatever reason. I've looked at that, and if that comes here to Montana through some citizen initiative once again, and we do not have a voice of agriculture to say this is wrong here, this is wrong here, this is misleading there, I don't know that we've solved our problem.
Yeah, but we do have a voice. And that, I mean, I'm glad all those are great points. I want to kind of sparse them point by point. But let's first talk really quickly about billionaires, Tom. If people don't think billionaires don't spend in our elections now, they're at the least naive. Of course they do. That's all the money behind all of these horrible, toxic, negative and ads that we see, you know, crop up every election cycle that just now, just because of the way politics is today, just kind of fill our airways and our mailboxes and all of that. And it continues to get worse and worse. That's being spent by anonymous billionaires putting money in there. So while I-194 doesn't correct everything, I'll take on billionaires in my next cycle. And I invite the chamber to go along with me. But at least under the Montana Plan, if they choose to put their name to something, we will know it. Right now, you don't. Oh, is that Soros? Is that Koch brothers? Is that Musk? Is that this person? Is it that person that's behind all of this? Is that Swiss billionaire? Is it? So it's like, I mean, this kind of conspiracy stuff, but nobody really knows because there's no transparency under Montana, under the Montana Plan, I-194. We will at least know. And then I don't believe that one of the reasons that they love to put their money anonymously behind this horrible, horrible, toxic advertising is because they don't want to be associated with it. We will see, I believe, that kind of really negativity go away if it's not spent on, when people actually have to put their names behind that messaging. You know, and that leads me into your next question about how do we keep Montanans keep a voice? Unfortunately, the folks that want to do this kind of wrap themselves as the do-gooders when they're, in fact, it's the opposite way around. The only folks under the Montana Plan that will be able to spend in our elections are individuals. That's it. And all fully transparent and disclosed. It's basically like it was for years, for a century, before Citizens United,
which is so law of the land.
Large groups aren't going to be coming in, and that's how we. And quite honestly, let's talk about small business. That's how we spend. And how small business people, 99.2% of Montana businesses are considered small business.
Yes,
that's how they operate in their communities right now. If they get involved in a local school levy or a local levy, They write a check from their personal checkbook, just like you and I do, because they're part of that community. Rarely do they pull out the business checkbook and write that, because they want to be part of the solution and part of the problem, or rather than part of the problem. They want to be that kind of community member. And that's why we've always done it in Montana.
It's not a level playing field.
Forget about that.
Jeff, but it's not a level playing field. You're asking, 25 people in a small community to, come together, write personal checks to, come up against a billion. There's 300 billionaires, which spent more than $3 billion in the 2024 federal election cycle. I mean, is that a level playing field?
We can disagree on this idea. If we try to get rid of money in politics, we're going to have all these billionaires come in and try to spend it. It's just not going to happen. And it's more, with all due respect, it's more of a scare tactic. What folks are concerned about in that case, I cannot, and I'd be right there with you on, if someone wants to do something with hunting, fishing, or ag in our state, right there with you. But we're not going to see these, we're not going to, we're going to know if that happens, and we're going to know exactly who's behind it. And I guarantee you, just because I've seen in the grassroots stuff that we've already done, Montanans are going to lock their elbows together and fight those type of issues. But at least they'll know. And we come up with hundreds of examples every election cycle about what's the worst case scenario, lots of worst case scenarios. But when things are actually on the ground and working, folks will be, I think, pretty happy with what the new reality is going to be. Again, we lived through this for 100 years. People are talking like this is something that we're changing the last 50 years of practice. No, it's only been 16 years since Citizens United. I remember the time, like you do, Tom, whether you saw Conrad Burns on Main Street with his sheepskinned wool collar, big cowboy hat, talking to folks. We saw Pat Williams knocking on doors. We saw Max Baucus running across the state. We saw Denny Rehberg in our communities talking to our citizens. And we saw town halls. We saw people coming together. Our politics used to be different. And the only thing that's changed since 2010 is the amount of money.
No.
As a matter of fact, independent
that's
expenditures in 2010, nationwide, all federal elections, I'll just use all federal elections, was $140 million. You know how much money was spent just in the Senator Sheehy, Senator Tester race on independent expenditures? $162 million.
Yeah.
More money was spent in 2024 on one Montana Senate race than was in independent expenditure spending than was spent across the entire nation.
Let's take that money and tax the heck out of it and put that toward our federal deficit, and in 250 years we'll be debt free. Anyway, Jeff,
there's lots we can do with that money. But
good to have you joining us here today. Jeff Mangan is with us here, former state legislator for Montana, as well as commissioner of political practices. And that has led him to be an advocate for this I-194. It's a citizens initiative that, would attempt to bring money out of politics to a certain degree. Rather than regulating speech, it would directly regulate a corporation's ability to influence a candidate or even an election. But there are holes in it, according to some critics. Jeff Mangan is with us here again. And Jeff, thanks for this. I appreciate this. And I kind of want to shift the conversation a little bit to, ways that we can take the influence of money out of politics, so to speak. But let's address some more of these, critic statements regarding the plan here as well. One of them is this First Amendment precedent. And I have considerations concerns that they're right about that, that this would end up being challenged if we pass it. The state of Montana then would have to defend this plan. I feel like it gets caught up there as well. That's one of the topics to talk about here. Let's have it from you, addressing some of those critic concerns. And then I want to ask the questions about what people are saying and other ideas you might be hearing regarding this.
You bet. I mean, very transparent about, as with everything, this the entire time. You know, we certainly expect there to be a court challenge, and you know, this is something that's really important, and we're overturning a ruling by the Supreme Court from 2010 that it's become, at least in a good portion of our society's vernacular now, Citizens United, and understanding a little bit of what that means. But they've certainly seen the effects in the past 16 years, like we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And the folks that are spending that money and want to continue to spend, or will like they have already, sue to stop this from happening. And it will not surprise me if we're sued, and that's part of the process. We will certainly be defending it, as well as I would hope the state, the citizens pass this. But that happens, through our legislature currently, that's part of the process. And other than agreeing with you that it will likely be challenged, and it's something that folks want an answer to, do corporations, as soon as that line gets signed, have all of these powers that you and I do, when it would never used to be that way. And there's a whole other portion of corporate law and the state's authority under the 10th Amendment to determine exactly what corporations can and cannot do. That's worth exploring. It's not just another of speech regulation under the First Amendment. We're again looking at a whole other section of law. But I understand why they want to focus on that, because quite honestly, it's one of the few arguments that they have. They've, in my opinion, they've enjoyed spending this amount of money and attempting to influence elections this way with no accountability. And literally limiting the voice of, in our case, Montana citizens who just can't compete. For the last 10 years, I'll just say 10 years, because every 4 years, the amounts literally double. It's amazing what this money is doing to our politics. Folks have just kind of given up. There's nothing we can do. I don't even like to go to my mailbox for the first 4 months before an election, and can't turn on our tablet or TV or anything else without this barrage of ads. And we've kind of resigned to the fact that nothing can be done, even though we all want to do something about it. And one of the reasons, people like the Montana plan is that it's strong. It has a point. It's something that hasn't been tried before. We're out there actually working about it. It's not going to take another 20 years to have to get an amendment on the Constitution federally and those type of things. It's a solution that folks can understand and realize that they can get their voice back. Now, you and I can disagree on whether or not it's a level playing field, but I believe it is when it's individuals versus individuals. I wanted to get back really quickly to individuals can still get together and raise money from individuals to support candidates or ballot issues. That's how associations do that now. That's how corporations do that now. And that's how others do that now. What will move away from is those direct pocket or those direct that direct spending from a corporate checkbook into these independent expenditure PACs and other ways to influence elections that have no accountability. Literally, again, like I said, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but that's exactly how we did it before. And that's exactly how Montanans
it's not work now exactly in our how we've election. Done it before. It does change things. Let me ask this question, though. The Montana plan.
The feeling. I mean, right now, Montanans are resigned to the fact that there's nothing they can do about spending in politics, and they're absolutely right. We're back to asking our candidates and our local elected and others, and we know who's spending in our politics, and we have a different kind of, I would hope, kind of the vitriol we talked about during the break. If we want to move away, I truly believe, Tom, if we want to move away from this toxicity and these horribly slimy, horrible ads that people don't mind putting out there because there's no names behind it.
That's illegal. There are names behind it.
Well, an indiscriminate pack,
Here's a text message, and this is from a gentleman who has served in the legislature and has run here as well. The Montana plan doesn't stop the unions from collecting money and distributing the cash out by way of individuals. I've personally been part of that kind of adverse political spending. Union representatives in the past have passed a hat and to gather up cash only to hand it over to certain candidates.
If they're passing the hat and doing that now, regardless of the union or anyone else, that's illegal under today's law, and that shouldn't be happening. I don't know how to answer those type of things that they can't be doing today. That example, what you just said, Tom, is you can't pass the hat it's against the law now.
Yeah. Well, I hope, and maybe that texter will come in with another response here. 781-627-5483. Election integrity has to mean something, not just election security, but integrity about running our elections too. You probably served with this guy, our next caller here, in the state house, or perhaps it was the Senate. Brad Molnar has got a question about this plan. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Jeff. Tom's right. You and I served in the House together. You and I did great battle on reforming the Youth Court Act, and then you became the commissioner. And I want people to know that when you became commissioner, it became a non-politically driven office for the first time. It wasn't a matter of if you were a Democrat, you won. If you were a Democrat, you lost, depending on who the governor was that appointed. You actually brought integrity to the system, and I personally appreciate that.
I want to agree with that, too.
Very kind of you, Brad.
I'm not a kind person. I'm just telling the truth. and I've got witnesses. One of the things that I think that you're up against, and I haven't heard you address it yet, is Sullivan versus New York Times. Basically, the Supreme Court said that you can lie about a political figure, and they simply have to defend themselves, but that is a highly protected, political speech is so highly protected, you don't have to be right. And I think that's a good chunk of the problem, and even if we control the money or pull it out from certain spots, which I'm in favor of, if I get a chance to sign your petition, I'll do it. But if the Supreme Court has ruled it's okay to fabricate, to lie, and as long as it's a political person and political speech, I don't think we get as far as we need to get or as far as you hope that we will get. Can you please address that?
Thanks, Brad.
That's a great point. I don't disagree with you at all, Brad. I was on the opposite end of one of those rulings in Montana when I was commissioner. and that is one of the areas that we need to continue to kind of focus light on that. It's okay to, I'll just, in my opinion, I'll use, that it's okay to lie in these certain situations. And then a court calls it political speech. And then the remedy is just more political speech from the other side or the opponent side or whatever it might be, which, as you eloquently point out, could be more lies, just perpetuating that entire issue. While I-194 doesn't solve everything, I think the stepping point of getting this amount of money out of politics will certainly go to a long way in folks looking how they spend that money and what's the best way to message and to address whether they're supporting or opposing a person or an issue, but that's certainly still an issue. And it has to be top of mind of everyone. I think there are other ways, other things that we need to continue to do, whether it's
term limits
is a possibility, federally, You know, I think there's lots of discussions that we can have. We just need to be having them, and real people need to be having them. One of the reasons I think we've been successful, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm patting Montanans on the back, is we've been able to just on a single issue, money, started this conversation amongst Montanans that they haven't really had before, and empowered them to think differently and to talk to their neighbors, friends, and family differently than they have in politics over the last several years, because either they feel empowered or they feel good about there's something that can come out on the other side. We need to create that kind of engagement and that kind of discussion or conversation on a number of those type of issues, including the one that Brad just brought up. You know, the more we talk about it, more ideas are generated, more thoughts are generated. Right now I'm focused solely on one particular thing, but believe me, I'm making a list of things I'd like to address once this is done. Other folks are, you know, there's lots of folks in Montana from all walks of life that would love to take on a challenge and start thinking outside the box and thinking differently and talking to their fellow neighbors. I think that's how we start those conversations that may ultimately lead to real positive change. And at least it would be a conversation folks could get together and talk about without the vitriol and the sliminess and the toxicity and some of those other things this kind of money has brought into our politics, in my opinion.
Brad, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And we're kind of clock on the wall here. As a matter of fact, Jeff, I'm going to have to let you go at this point. You kind of gave some closing thoughts there. So I don't know if you have anything more you want to share there. To find out more, montanaplan.org. And then the Transparent Election Initiative, transparentelection.org as well. Any final 20-second thoughts, Jeff?
I'll just say thank you to Montana. We were the first, probably in decades, all-volunteer signature gathering effort, not one paid signature, to get I-194 on the ballot. And it's because of Montanans and that individual, rugged, fierce independence that we have. I just thank all of Montana. And join us at montanaplan.org. And thank you, Tom, for your time. You have been very gracious.
Well, thank you as well. I mean, there are legitimate reasons to oppose and legitimate reasons to support as well. So politics or elections or moving forward, hopefully in some direction, Jeff. I appreciate that. Good stuff, Jeff Mangan. We'll be chatting down the road, too, okay?
Thank you so much. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Brad, we'll get you back on the air as well. All right.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.